up all your dishes. Make note of all good wishes. Say goodbye to the landlord for me. Sons of bitches always bore me. Throw out those L.A. papers.
Quick intro this week. Jay and I went to Branch and Barrel Distillery in Centennial, and we talked to the crew there, and it was a fun conversation. Hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for all the support. We'll plug out all of our pluggables once we're up and running, and episode 101 is on the way. Appreciate you. Down the road in a cloud of smoke for some land that I ain't bought. If I just get off of that L.A. freeway without getting killed or gone.
I saw that. I didn't know what you guys were doing, for sure. Well, while you three are sitting down, Jay and I are just gonna jump in and do our normal intros, because we have to make a shout out to our sponsors. So first and foremost, social media plugs. Find Unfiltered Craft wherever you get your social medias. We're on the where are we on, Jay? You're not even on Instagram.
What's that?
I make so much fun of you on Instagram. You should really pay
you
more.
Do you?
Oh, I do. Jesus. I do. I know. Just a fucking fountain of content.
People should be sending me at least updates on that.
I know, for sure. So find Unfiltered Craft, unfiltered.craft, or Unfiltered Craft wherever. YouTube, we're on tinyurl.com/unfilteredyoutube. The reason why it's that, because we don't have enough subscribers yet. So if you listen to the show, and I know a lot of you do, hundreds, I would say. And as Donald Trump would say, thousands of people listen to this. Okay. Please go and subscribe. It's just tinyurl.com, unfiltered YouTube. Last thing, Patreon, to our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/unfilteredcraft. Thank you to all of you who do that already. I think I've sent you your koozies and your hats and your stickers and all of that. So much appreciated. Now, enough for us to plug. Hold on one sec. Morgan Adams Foundation. We have to do this.
The Morgan Adams Foundation.
These three gentlemen probably know nothing about it, Jay. But we're plugging the Morgan Adams Foundation's Chili Booze and Brews Fest. So you can join us for an awesome 6-week adventure to celebrate Colorado's best and most unique chili, beer, and spirits for the ultimate throwdown. Help support kids with cancer and local Colorado businesses. It's going on from November 1st to December 13th. I got a message from your sister. She already has her ticket. So tickets are on sale now.
Passports went on sale last week, or maybe Monday.
Yes. Jay, can you give a synopsis to our fans and to these three? What is Morgan Adams Foundation? Because it is not just some run-of-the-mill nonprofit. It's close to home for all of us.
Yeah, so this is no fly-by-night organization. So the Morgan Adams Foundation, we'll try to make this quicker than I did last week, is a nonprofit, event-driven foundation dedicated towards pediatric cancer research. They've been in existence for over 10 years now, with the primary goal of producing and hosting large-scale events really just designed to raise awareness and money for pediatric cancer research, all based strictly on the critical moment in time when my aunt, actually, Joan Slaughter, and her daughter was diagnosed with a pediatric brain tumor many, many years ago, and unfortunately Morgan Adams did not live. So to honor her memory and to help demonstrate some appreciation to Children's Hospital and the doctors that worked with Morgan, her parents formed the Morgan Adams Foundation. And to date, they've raised and donated over 3 or maybe even 4 million now. Awesome. I still got to figure out those numbers. all to pediatric cancer research. And the Chili Booze and Brews event is obviously having to be reincarnated a little bit this year, but it's gone virtual, much like the Great American Beer Festival. So 6-week passport gets you discounts or 2-for-1s or deals in local breweries, distilleries, and restaurants. From now until the middle of December. So get your passports. And I'm sure Sam's got a plug on Instagram with me doing something ridiculous related to the foundation and booze. So
learn all that you need to, because Jay did a good job. Chiliboozeandbrews.com. All the information you need there for who the sponsors are and whose whiskey and beer and chili you can get and all that stuff. But get your ticket, because all that stuff goes back to helping kids with cancer. It's a good thing.
It does indeed.
On a lighter note, perhaps, although Jen did ask us to plug this on the show, so she knows what it's all about. Jay, where are we? You've got a big sign behind
you. Yeah. Thank goodness, because sometimes I don't even know where I'm going when the day starts. We're at Branch and Barrel Whiskey down here off East Hins. Is it Hinsdale or
Hinsdale Circle?
Just a stone's throw from indoor soccer arena. That
is it really?
Yeah, I actually broke my hand in this particular arena right around the corner. So
you don't use your hands in soccer.
Well, I was a goalie for exactly. I was a goalie for a hot minute. Yeah, not a very good one either, to be honest. So. Yeah, if this place had been here back in the day, I don't know that I ever would have made it out of, what are we in, Centennial, technically? I never would have made it home, for crying out loud.
It's a bit of a hidden gem over here.
No shit.
Thank you to Justin and Sean and AJ, our friends over at Peakview, for introducing us to Branch and Barrel. I want to stop talking. You need to stop talking.
Yeah, nobody wants to
listen. Let's go
to me.
Around the table here, and let's introduce ourselves, please. We have three wonderful gentlemen here. We'll start here.
Ron Johnson.
There we go.
All right, Ron Johnson, director of sales and distribution.
Okay.
Barrel.
Okay.
I'm Ryan Morgan.
Perfect.
And I'm Nate Couture. I'm the marketing director for Branch and Barrel.
Ryan, what do you do?
I try not to lose all of my hair.
Okay.
Every day, making everything happen.
But wait, you're one of the founders, right?
You just got to start shaving it.
I am.
Yes. Okay. So one of the founders. All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having us in here. Thank you, obviously, for, you know, wearing masks and being safe and all that as we kind of prepare for whatever the fuck's going to happen next. Okay. It's unfiltered, so you are more than welcome to say and do whatever you want as long as it's not offensive to races, to creeds, to genders, to all of that stuff. We like to you know, throw an F-bomb in there on occasion, so don't worry. I'm not going to edit it out.
We're dialing those back, though.
We are. We're trying to be more professional.
Taking it up a notch.
Who wants to jump in here? We want to hear the story. And maybe it's the sales guy. Maybe it's the guy who founded it. Maybe it's the PR guy. Tell us the story of Branch and Barrel. Let's start there. Who wants it?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me interject.
Okay, yes. You got to take the mic, though.
We are actually part of Chili Booze.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty piss-poor piss-poor research on your behalf.
That's on Jen. That's not on us.
Yeah, she didn't warn us?
No, she didn't warn us. Yeah.
Way to go, Jen.
Yeah,
we're offering a buy one, get one tasting and tour. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Get on down here then. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Very proud to be a part of it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. Is this your first year participating with Chili Booze and Brews?
Second year.
Right on. So you guys were down at the McNichol Center last year.
Correct. Absolutely.
Great venue. Rest in peace. Events in public in general are just gone as far as I can tell. So whatever. That's all right. We figured out a way to get past it.
Yeah, we did. Ron, back to you. Okay. Sell this because. Yeah, just tell us the story.
You know what? I think it might be best.
Aha! Let's do that. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
The story has to come from you.
Yeah, happily tell it. You know, this was kind of, we just fell into it, to be honest. So in 2012, I was working with my partners. We all started in the construction field. We were building a building in Boulder, Colorado. And my partner came to me and said, hey, I think it'd be a lot of fun to make whiskey. And he having no idea what to do, me having no idea what to do, we went on Amazon.com when it was still a bookstore and bought How to Make Whiskey books. And literally just read the thing cover to cover 10 times, kind of understood how to make alcohol. It's kind of the science behind it. And my partner Scott got us a still. So it's right behind you, the still. It's hard to see. It's a 6-gallon water heater with some copper piping. It's not very complicated, but it's all you needed. And so we kind of sat in a backyard, a little off the books, bootlegging for about 3 years, just trying to figure out how to make alcohol. And we made it. We made alcohol. And not only that, I don't know if I should tell the story. My roommate at the time, he liked to imbibe. And so every night he'd come down, have a few drinks, and go upstairs. And so I thought, if there's alcohol in the house, he's going to drink it. So as I started making the hooch, I don't know if it was safe to drink, right? We made this in our backyard. I just kind of leave it out. And I would notice in the morning, half the jar was gone. And then he got up and went to work. And I was like, oh, my gosh. He's alive. It worked. It's great. It tastes good. Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
Has anybody checked on him lately? I mean.
That's good. Yeah. The aftermath.
Yeah.
He's still around.
Good. Good.
You told me he used to be white and good looking. Now he's black.
Right? Yeah. that hooch, man.
Something happened to him, but he's still alive. That's all that matters.
He's doing great. And so we kind of just started experimenting. So the name Branch and Barrel, when we were in the backyard, we couldn't afford barrels. We didn't really understand the aging process. We're like, whiskey's aged with wood, ignorantly. So we just had our mason jars with our hearts. And we're like, well, let's just put wood in here. So my partner's backyard, he had all these different kinds of trees, choke cherry, aspen, plum, apple. And we took branches from these trees and we put them in little cuttings, took those cuttings, put them in the mason jars, and let them sit there for about 6 or 8 months.
Okay.
And so our original barrels were the branches from our trees. So that's where branch and barrel comes from.
I love it. That's awesome.
And people started liking it. My partner hosts a Kentucky Derby party every year.
Okay.
And we had all these jars out. And by the end of the party, they were all gone. And people kept telling us how much they loved it, and they asked us to make it for them for their friends. And then in 2015, we said, you know what? Like, we've got a life savings. Let's spend it all and open a distillery. And that's where we're sitting right now. So
why whiskey or why spirits? Not okay, I guess where'd you grow up? Where are you?
I was born in Houston, Texas, but I grew up in San Diego, California.
Okay, wow.
That's so I grew up a tequila drinker.
Okay.
Being right next to Mexico, all my friends and their parents just had tequila on their shelves. So tequila is my favorite thing. I still love tequila. Okay. Ron is also a very tequila head. Bourbon was, you know, we only produce one product. Kind really, it's a bourbon, and that's just because we want what we wanted to drink. We wanted a Colorado bourbon. Like tequila really comes from tequila, Mexico, and I love the air up here. You know, it didn't seem easy, but it seemed like a lot of fun. And we wanted to make something we wanted to drink. That's why we didn't start with the vodka, didn't start with the gin.
Yeah,
like we are bourbon drinkers, and that's what we wanted to make.
What brought you here to Colorado?
Construction.
Okay.
I've kind of lived across the country, back and forth a few times, chasing my projects, and this is just where I landed when all this just kind of unfolded.
So you went from construction to this.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's Jay and I have gone from our professional jobs to this, but I guess we still do it.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, and I was going to say, it sounds like he hasn't actually left his professional construction job necessarily, which is always the amazing part to me is people in this space, in this niche that are pioneers in beer or wine or spirits, but they're still fucking working 9 to 5, punching a clock. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's you just get it done, you know? This is our passion and hearts, and, you know, we wake up and want to be here, and we go to sleep and wish we were here, right? So this is kind of where we spend all of our time, but then you just got to do what you got to do.
That's so are you awesome. Still, I mean, obviously you're still doing the construction thing. Are you housed down here for the most part, which allows you to kind of do things like this?
And I am. I like to say I pay rent in Denver.
Okay.
I travel often for these projects. I'm a third generation kind of construction real estate developer.
Okay.
My grandfather started a company in 1959.
Okay.
And so I've grown up on construction sites, and I tend to do that, expect to do that my whole life. But this is really like, I spend probably more of my time here than anywhere.
So what happened in that moment in Boulder that you two decided to do this though? Because you kind of, you had mentioned that, you know, there was this moment of all of this, but what was going, I mean, were you drinking at a bar in Boulder?
I wish it was. So my partner Tom at the time was sober. So, and my partner Scott doesn't drink.
Okay.
So there were no drinks in our hands. It was just kind of like a, fuck it, this sounds like fun. Like, okay. We're always up for a challenge. You know, construction's not easy.
Right.
You look at plans and you're like, the plans don't work. Let's just figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same with the booze industry. You know, beer, still love beer, but at the time, you know, it's when you do like 10 breweries a weekend, you got to try all the new ones, everything. And whiskey just seemed, it was much harder to get into, much higher barriers to entry, and just a lot more complicated. And the more research I did and understood how many distilleries actually don't make their own product, blew my mind. And I was like, well, we want to do something that's like truly ours.
Yeah.
And so we're not buying juice, we're not repackaging, you know, everything that's here, we source locally.
Okay.
You know, when we started, we were driving up to El Dorado Springs and pulling out spring water from the mountain.
Wow.
Bringing it here and then doing it.
Oh my gosh.
It's...
You guys were pulling water out of the spring in El Dorado Springs.
Yeah, well, it's
and driving
you,
it.
You
driving
give them money, and then they give you water. But
okay,
it's a little bit more.
I'm imagining you guys like straight out of that scene in Breaking Bad where they're pumping the chemical out of the train, and I'm like, this seems illegal. So, not quite as prohibition era as that apparently, but still, I mean, you guys. So, do you still get your water from El Dorado Springs? I mean, you said you get your ginormous tanks.
Yeah, no.
We have expanded so much since then that we actually have to, my partner Scott has a well that he's in one of the aquifers. I think it's the Arapaho Aquifer. It's thousands of feet down. And we pull our water straight from there, from his property, and bring it right here.
Holy shit.
That's perfect.
Do you know anybody that owns a well?
No, I mean, yeah, my parents in Iowa.
I didn't know that was a thing. Somebody that owns a well in Colorado is... That's like sitting on a gold mine.
Unlike other distilleries too, you know, our vision, where the well is on a location that we plan to expand on in probably the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. That's awesome.
This for us is a 40-year business plan.
All right, let's do a taste of the first one.
Let's do this.
All right, Jay, you're not.
Nope, I'm on hiatus, unfortunately. Okay, hiatus. So you guys will have to let me smell
this
it
as we kind of move through it. Okay, so, all right, so you guys have this plan. You're going. What's the next step? Right? What's the next step in terms of actually beginning to you know, make the stuff, barrel the stuff, age the stuff? What happens now?
Oh my gosh! So
no, I was trying don't. To tell yeah, don't you, even pour me any. Thank you.
I was explaining earlier. So our distiller. Well, the first part is you have to figure out, because we still have our day jobs. How do you make it when you have a day job? So we had a friend who was willing to kind of just donate. Cheers.
Also cheers. On hiatus, there we go. Huh?
There we go. Well,
I'm learning how to fly, and I have to. I have a.
Ah. Okay.
So it's 8 hours bottle to throttle, and that's.
I can never remember that little poem.
8 hours bottle.
Didn't watch that Denzel Washington movie.
I did, and all I remember is
he was
cocaine.
Yeah, there's a lot of cocaine.
All I remember is cocaine.
Some strippers.
Yeah.
Not unlike this show. Yeah. Basically, it's another episode. Okay. So yeah, go through that plan. Let's hear.
We need someone to come. So we've got Joe's going to come and do our distilling. And on his first day.
What year was this then?
This is 2015.
This is 2015.
Into 2015, early 2016.
Okay. So you guys, you guys are not, I forget, right?
They're not
sorry,
new.
Not to cut you off, but, you know, so often, 3/4 of our interviews, shit, I'll get
dude, if you bought that fucking tripod on Amazon, it's time to get a refund. Cause
I got it.
They're not just a bookstore anymore.
You got to pull up on it. There we go, right there. Now push the thing down, maybe. Yeah. I may have, there. Hold on. I'll get it. Jay, you may have to ask this question. This thing.
There we go.
Got it? Maybe?
As you can see, gentlemen, this is a low budget, low quality production.
Yeah, for sure. No, I was thinking, we take for so often craft breweries are up and running so fast just because of, you know, the time it takes to make that product is so much quicker. You're not the first distillery that we've talked to that obviously has a 5-year plan before things even get to market. Obviously, it wasn't that long, but I think we just kind of think in a different way.
Well, it's
usually.
It took me 5 years to get our shit together. I'll tell you that. Because we had a business plan, but it was really just make bourbon.
Okay.
It was really focused on production. How do we make the best tasting quality bourbon going from a 6-gallon still to a 20-gallon still to a 400-gallon still? You know, today we have a 750-gallon still and a 1,450-gallon still.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's blown up. So, you know, we started with Joe. His first day on the job, he had a horrible allergic reaction to our grains.
Okay.
Had to quit. And then Rick, our master distiller now, actually was our electrician. He was wiring all of our systems together and said, I really like what you guys are doing. Can I distill for you? We're like, well, you have known nothing about distilling, neither do we. In essence, like, sure, you're hired. it was perfect. And I can't tell you how passionate he is and how much to heart he's taken this career change. I mean, his whole life has been an electrician. He's traveled all around the world. He's been in the military. It's incredible. And now he's just slanging hooch. He's not a big drinker either. I mean, he's got his son working for him. He's our midnight shift. We almost essentially run 24 hours a day here.
My God, holy shit, that is crazy. Yeah. Why this location, I guess, knowing where we are?
So we opened up so we started looking in 2014. I think that's when we signed the lease.
Okay.
Because the DTB, you need time. It was kind of central to where a lot of us lived, but honestly, at that time, every pot company was chopping up every single space. And I think we're too close to a school or something that they couldn't be here, so this was like kind of these pocket areas where pot wasn't being grown.
Okay.
And so we got really lucky when we found this location, made great friends with the landlord, and been able to expand both ways since we've been here.
That's
so
awesome.
Just kind of all those things kind of came together.
So 2015, you start actually producing the stuff, you put it into barrels. I asked you before we started interviewing, before Jay got here, but where are the barrels? Where are they?
They're up stop.
Yeah.
We store them at my partner Scott's ranch.
Okay.
It's kind of a farm, and Scott's brilliant, but he created these containers, and we store them, and he built these racks for them, and they're temperature controlled. And one thing that we kind of pride ourselves on is just, you know, our slogan's family, friends, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And freedom for us is like the freedom to be creative, the freedom to explore, the freedom to just kind of do whatever the fuck we want.
Okay.
And so we experiment with a lot of different things. And that's kind of how all of our flavors, I don't want to call them flavors, but different barrel aging approaches come from, is just us saying like, well, we can't fuck it up really. Like, let's see what happens. And so we do a lot of experimenting out there just with the way that the barrels are aged, just trying to control, temperature, humidity, pressure, all these different things. And it's kind of fun.
And Ryan, you guys are sitting on approximately how many barrels right now?
I believe we have 397. 79.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Almost 400 barrels. And then Ryan was telling me before you popped back up that you guys are anticipating or are projecting to do how many barrels next year?
Our goal is to do 500 barrels next year.
That's amazing.
So we're ramping up the other side and this side. And just if we can maximize our efficiencies and our calculations are correct, we could do about 500 barrels.
Oh, so you need a good mathematician somewhere back there.
Yeah, well, I just asked Siri, and she says, 500 barrels. And I go, okay, well, that sounds good.
We can deal with that. Okay, all right, so you've got the idea. You've got, you know, the concept in a way. You had mentioned the brand, but now let's talk about that. Let's talk about, we can get these two involved, but let's hear about trying to set yourself, not apart from other Colorado distilleries, but definitely helping to set Colorado apart from the rest of the country. What kind of conversations were you three having? And, you know, what conversations were you and Scott having as you kind of began to unpack this?
I'll mention how these guys came on board. Nate's been with us since April, and Ron's been with us for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Almost. And this was, I mean, I count my cards. I'm very lucky. Ron happened to be visiting a friend that worked nearby and saw that we were distilling. He worked in the industry. He was like, oh, let's have a chat. And, you know, a couple months later, he's, like, running our sales.
So, wait, let's move the mic to this guy then. What were you doing before? Okay, you don't just show up and see, oh, hey, they're making hooch, right, and just stop in. What's your background? Introduce yourself, Ron. Again, what's your last name?
Johnson.
Johnson, okay. And yeah, tell us your story.
You know, I'm on the sales end, have been in this industry, almost 30 years.
Okay.
Restaurants, bars, clubs, liquor stores, sales distribution, sales supply as well. And like Ryan said, is that I was right out back then. I'm looking at, you know, some kind of distillation production and what the hell is going on here.
Do I call the cops or do I ask for a job?
Came over and came on board sort of part-time and realized that, one, Branch & Barrel had the wherewithal to do some just amazing things, but two, with the, you know, I had other brands at the time, and I found myself spending more time with Branch & Barrel than all the other brands combined.
Really?
And so that says something.
What? Why?
You know, one, and look, I don't mean to be, you know, weirdo about it, but there's a little bit of magic in what these guys are. I mean, like Ryan said, Rick comes on board, he's got no experience in the industry. Ryan and Tom are putting branches inside of mason jars.
Yeah.
Whiskey. There's something to be said to take it from that to what it was even when I came on board.
Yeah.
You know, producing great whiskey already, and I wanted to be a part of it. And like Ryan said, 40-year plan, we plan on making Branch & Barrel the top number one distiller, not only for Branch & Barrel products, but just like you said, for Colorado, in the industry, that is the goal, is to make Branch & Barrel number one. And not to the, you know, we're not trying to disadvantage anyone else, but to be that distillery in Colorado that people look toward to produce just great freaking whiskey. So, yeah,
we don't always get a lot of directors of sales on the show, so I kind of want to put you on the spot and ask you, how does it work when you go into the liquor store and you're training, you know, folks to sell this? What are you telling them to say? What makes Branch & Barrel different from, not again, I mean, I think there's a different taste from other Colorado distilleries, but how do you get them, how do you get somebody to go from a Jack Daniels to a Branch & Barrel? What are you saying?
So, first of all, as Ryan said, we never produced vodka.
Yeah.
It was whiskey from the beginning, and bourbon from the beginning. And in Colorado, producing your own juice from scratch to the bottle, and, you know, aging your stores in 379 barrels and so on and so forth, that is a big part of what Colorado can and should be.
Mm-hmm.
We're as good as Illinois. We're as good as Kentucky. We're as good as Tennessee here in Colorado. I don't know if you all know, we've got the largest distillers guild in the United States in Colorado.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah, Owen and Rick taught me that. I
think. Yeah, one of the smallest states in the union, and we've got the largest. So there's a proud history and a proud tradition of great bourbon here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking to that, you know, to consumers, when we're talking going into a retail account or a restaurant, we are really, really pushing that message, is that there's beautiful, beautiful whiskey here, you know, being made in Colorado, and Branch Barrel is a big part of that. They're very proud of about what we're doing these days. So
you can stop me if I'm wrong here, and Jay, you can, and whomever else, but I think in the same way that Colorado craft beer lacks the pretentiousness that you get with an East Coast beer or a Northern California beer, I think craft distilling in this state has the same level of kind of levity. You know, it's
very under the radar.
Approachable. Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you don't feel, when you go and buy a bottle of a Lock & Co. or a bottle of Branch & Barrel, you don't feel like you're buying a bottle of Whistle Pig. And that's kind of comforting in a lot of ways. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
People look at it on the shelf at home and they don't go, ooh, you're a kind of a hot shot boozer here. No, I mean, I think a bottle of Colorado whiskey or bourbon or spirits, it just says you appreciate the finer things the state has to offer, but it's not a shitty attitude. I don't know how else to describe it, frankly.
Colorado's sort of like what is the introduction to the Wild West, if you will.
Yeah.
And there's such a love of craftsmanship in the state. I mean, and mentioning the Guild, like, we just got to throw it out there for the Guild. They've done an incredible job. They are political, they're informational, they're we're very lucky to be a part of it.
Okay.
And there's some incredible distilleries in the state that are just doing remarkable, fun things. And everyone is different. And yes, you share shelf space with them in liquor stores, but I would stand next to those guys any day of the week.
Do you feel like you're all on the same team then when it comes to that? I mean, that's a really good point. There's still every liquor store you go to, no matter how big, the Colorado craft whiskey section is not huge.
It's not a big wall. Yeah.
Is that one of those things where, all right, you want a Branch & Barrel, let's also get you into a Deer Hammer and all of this stuff? I mean, that has to help, right, in a lot of ways?
I think it does. It brings people's eyes, but everyone does something differently.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everyone's equipment's different. Everyone's ingredients are different. You know, one thing that we try to stress on our end is our transparency.
Okay.
Right? All of our equipment we make ourselves. All of our grains come from Colorado. Like, you, even if we told you our recipe, which is, I mean, it's easy. It's corn and barley and water and yeast.
Yes.
I mean, you can't replicate anything that we do because it's so specific to our equipment. And our fermenters are even, all of our equipment's reused, recycled, repurposed.
That's awesome.
And so all the shapes are funky and weird, and we basically have to, like, a self-laddering system. And it's just, you know, it's just kind of what happens when you hack things together.
Uh-huh.
But it just creates a unique flavor that you just cannot replicate. And I think a lot of other places do very fun, similar things.
Does that funky, unique distillation system, does that carry with it its own burden, so to speak? Or, I mean, does that set you apart? I mean, aside from flavor.
You know, it really is, it allows us, because we are very meticulous, and we want, like, our heart cuts. You know, we're not blending in a little heads and tails here and there. Like, we take the heartiest of the hearts, and that's it. I mean, we actually reuse our heads and tails in all of our distilling. So the same, you know, our first time we ever ran our still, we still have those heads and hearts in our head.
Do you really?
Yeah. So we recycle, kind of like a cast iron skillet. They kind of go around. But it just allows us to really make those minute adjustments and hone in on the flavors that we want, right? Because we're out there. And Rickon, it's funny. He can distill by listening to the equipment and just by smelling it. He knows when to cut heads, tails, hearts, four shots. He can. It's pretty amazing how he's able to do it.
Are you surprised by what you've seen since you you started selling? Let's get in there. Like, let's talk about the proliferation of this brand. I mean,
Of course, yeah. No, I mean, it blows my mind. You walk into a place and it's on the shelf or at a bar or restaurant, and people actually like it or love it. I did. My friend bought me custom skis last year.
Okay.
We had a whole little deal. But he put the Branch & Barrel logo at the bottom of the ski, and he got them at Folsom Skis up in Denver.
Uh-huh.
Folsom Skis, awesome ski company. And I was picking them up, and the owner's like, hey, I noticed there's Branch & Barrel on your skis. Like, do you work for them? I was like, oh, I started. He's like, I got two bottles at home. Like, I love your stuff.
Gosh.
It's just like, I don't know how to explain that feeling, but it's incredible.
Okay.
And then talking about branding, and I realized, you know, as we're expanding, as we're growing, you know, Ron's kicking ass, him and Carrie. our sales team. You know, so we have to focus on our brand, we have to focus on our customer relations, and make sure everyone's as happy as we are. And so Nate has been doing an incredible job. Nate came on in April, took over kind of our brand managing, and just our outward facing, I guess, correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible, the response that we're getting and receiving. And everyone I talk to is like, oh, I just saw your Instagram. And it's like, it's just incredible and beautiful. And I have to take my hat off to these gentlemen.
Perfect.
Was there anybody doing that beforehand? I mean, was it relied on sales to do it?
It was relying on sales to do. And it was just kind of, it was more of an afterthought, if you will. You know, we knew we needed to have a number of posts a day, but that whole branding, I mean, you go to the store, like you were saying, in the Colorado whiskey section, there's 30 whiskeys. You've never heard of any of them before. How the hell are you even going to start?
Right.
Right? And so, you know, we're trying to establish that brand that resonates and that, you know, word of mouth is the best sales. But if we can just back that up with everything that we're doing here, you know, forward-facing customer relations, and then our media, then I think that makes it full circle.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Let's bring him in here then. I mean, tell us about the brand. Tell us about, again, sales and branding are not the same thing. And I think a lot of times people collapse those into the same, but they're not. What is this brand? How do you get it out there in terms of, you know, the website, Facebook, Instagram? Can you kind of define that for us, what you think Branch and Barrel really stand for?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I started in April and immediately, for me at least, I could see that it was very down to earth. I met with them and that was kind of my first takeaway. It was like, okay, they legitimately love what they do. They have passion for it. And so I think that speaks to kind of where the brand comes from, and everything we do kind of has that stamp of passion on it. And I think people see that and feel it. And like you said, like Colorado whiskey and distilleries have just a different feel to them. They don't feel pretentious. They feel kind of like our hashtag that we use, family, friends, and freedom. You feel like you're part of the family when you're drinking it. You feel like you want to hang out and just, you know, talk, chat with your friends, shoot the shit like we're doing now. And mm-hmm. I think you feel that, and that naturally just helps sales by people feeling that passion and just knowing that a lot of heart went into it. And
yeah,
there's a lot of love and everything that goes into it. So
I love the bottles. The bottles are cool.
Well, there's just something about the feel of this juice. I mean, you walk in, yep, most of the places we hang out, there's stickers and there's buttons, but these guys are sporting brand new lapel pins. That's pretty sharp. I mean, you guys are not in a pretentious way, like you said, but taking it up a notch here a little bit, I think. And that's huge when it comes especially to spirits. I mean, beer is beer, right? Everybody loves beer and everybody can, it's extremely accessible. Whiskey and bourbon, I think maybe not quite as easy for some people to gravitate to.
People, it's funny, we have bottling parties whenever we bottle.
Okay.
And we invite volunteers and it's a whole fun day. We have breakfast and lunch and just listen to music and make bottles. But everyone walks away saying, I have no idea how much labor goes into every single bottle, right? How many people's hands these things touch after they've been sitting, you know, for 2 or 3 years,
right,
or 3+ years, you know? And people just walk away with a different appreciation for what it is. And us, like, keeping that brand and stepping it up is just, we want to be, again, transparent and just show, like, our love and our passion into this product by just keeping it at a level that we all want to be at.
Let's move into the next phase. Should we do another taster too?
Go for it. You're the one having all the fun.
What do you want next?
Well, what's this? Was it the same thing?
That's the plumwood age.
The plumwood age. Let's try that. Okay.
Awesome. It's in that right there. Keep going. Yep. It's in the pseudo honey bottle.
Oh, the pseudo.
Yep. It's in the
wrong
bottle.
So you two, I guess, what has happened since March, April, in terms of sales, in terms of how you were impacted? Good, bad, what has happened? Because, I mean, again, to go back to our friends at Lock & Co., fortunate enough to not have a tasting room, right, where that overhead is gone. Same kind of thing for you guys?
Well, here's what I would say in terms of stuff. First of all, my heart and my heart is broken for all of the on-premise accounts, meaning bars, restaurants, clubs, hotels that have been just super duper adversely affected by this. It's tragic what's happened. You know, people's livelihoods and their life life's work and life savings being put into this stuff. And we can't get out of this soon enough, in my opinion. The retail side has thrived and flourished. To that end, you know, people, when they feel a little bit of panic, and I'll say panic, people are feeling a little bit panicked, they kind of retreat the things that they know.
Mm-hmm.
So people, there's less experimentation.
Okay.
Out in the market right now. On the retail side, people buy the things that they know. And so,
are you speaking in terms of a customer, or are you talking about the premise owners? Okay. Yeah, so you're not talking about the purchase, the bulk purchase on the shelves. Correct. You're talking about me as Joe, as whiskey consumer, drinker. Yeah.
No doubt. And you know, the space that we occupy, is a couple of shelves higher, than some of those big consumer brands. And we had the advantage in the past of being able to do a lot of tasting. We had the advantage in the past of being on menus.
Hand sales, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hand sales, tastings, being on menus in restaurants, bars, clubs. Now, you know, we're reduced by a factor of, you know, 25, 30, 40% at this point in time. And even those bars, clubs, restaurant owners, they're really trying to focus on what works. And so we tried to be innovative on that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of on-premise tastings as much as we can. Things like wonderful, we had a great whiskey dinner up at Tap on the Rocks about 3 weeks ago. And so what we're trying to do is enhance what the on-premise owners are doing right now to get butts back in seats. But we're hampered off-premise by social distancing rules. Not being able to do tastings and so on and so forth. So it's kind of turned upside down. We've lost our ability for trial on menus in restaurants. Yeah. We lost our ability for trial in the liquor stores. So we're just trying to be as innovative as we can in trying to get folks to try the whiskey, really looking at opportunities here at the distillery to bring folks by. And that's kind of where it is right now.
Well, and Ryan said it first, right? I mean, how much are you still relying almost primarily on word of mouth at this point?
A lot of that.
So, yeah, I mean, it could have been a better time in bringing Candidate on. And I mean, we were looking for this like brand role. But it's just so important that people understand who you are before they buy you. I mean, it's we're not the cheapest on the shelf by any means. And this was our year of on-premise, right? Our whole gearing up, all of our, you know,
owners,
like, we're gearing up for on-premise. This is like our big year because we've had a distributor. We're in retail stores, up and down the Front Range and trying to get to the mountains. And then it was just like, you know, everyone got slapped. So like Ron was saying, we've actually been very lucky to strategize and work with like Peakview as an example of coming up and doing a barrel age there. Tap on the Rocks was an incredible event. It was a 6-course tasting menu. So we're finding accounts that are willing to work with us. And together we can both promote, put butts in their seats, and also do some, you know, put our bourbon in their mouths. That's appropriate.
No, that sounded fun. That's fine.
Yeah, even if it wasn't.
Worst things have been said.
We've made way worse comments about things going in mouths. So.
Let me. I want to pass it over back to Ron real quick, just because we don't always get that perspective.
Yeah, we don't
on
really hear
show.
From sales.
What do you? I mean, knowing that you've been in this industry. Not just in whiskey, not just in distilling, but also, you know, kind of, you know, distribution and liquor store. What the hell is going to happen? Because we are, I mean, shit's getting weird. This show's going to come out tomorrow. Shit's getting weird again.
Yeah, we'll see what Friday looks like.
What are you thinking? What are you, for your friends, you know, across the country who are in, you know, not just liquor sales, but the restaurant ownership and you know, liquor stores. What's going to happen? Just, you know, to pick your brain.
You know, it's going to take a long time for recovery on the on-premise side.
Okay.
And I'll speak to layman. On-premise means everything that you consume at the space. Bars, clubs, restaurants, hotels.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time for recovery. Obviously, new spaces will come in to fill.
Yeah.
The ones that have been left behind and fell by the wayside. But that's going to be a long time coming. For the off-premise side, meaning liquor stores, it's going to continue to hum. People drinking bad times, people drinking good times.
Yeah.
It makes a difference as to what they drink. You know, in the Branch and Barrel occupies a space on the shelves that, you know, within that premium category. Again, folks like us are going to have to really be innovative to get juice and liquid for people for trial. So a lot of the distilleries are doing a really good job. We're beginning to do a really good job of bringing people to the space with, you know, proper social distancing and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, a lot of breweries are falling by the wayside, and that's not only because of this; it's because of they can't get cans in order to can their product. There are a lot of adverse factors, right? It's probably the most if you're brewing, distilling, and fermenting right now on the wine side. This is the worst time that I think you could ever have experienced with COVID, social unrest. There's an election coming up, but people are just kind of a little bit tense and maybe kind of, you know, they hold everything pretty close to their vest. There'll be a sigh of relief about a week from now. Whatever that sigh is.
Yeah, nobody knows, right?
A collective sigh
of
relief or
yes, or, yeah, you're right.
QAnon subscribers go through the roof.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so.
But it's simply going to take a long time to recover. And the folks that are the most aggressive in terms of trying to come up with a myriad of different ways to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be the ones that will hopefully survive. Like Nate was talking about before, that passion.
Yeah.
Passion doesn't keep the doors open, but damn does it fuel getting out there and trying to do everything that you can do. You know,
Statistics that point out, you know, just how important tasting rooms are for breweries and distilleries. I think I was reading for a small distillery, 75% of their bottom line comes from their tasting room sales.
Really?
That's crazy.
And right now, no one has a tasting room.
Right.
You can't sample any of that.
So based on what we're dealing with right now, is this tasting room technically allowed to be open?
For sales.
For sales, not necessarily for tasting.
I mean, I guess it changes every day.
Sure.
And for very, very, you know, social distanced. So we've had an event recently where everyone was outside.
Yeah.
And we actually tasted through the door.
I was going to say.
With social distancing.
Yeah.
You're just having everybody, everybody
pouring them as they go by.
We have a good space for that, too.
The parking lot and the open space is huge, so that's gigantic. I want to talk about something that you guys have all alluded to a little bit. I want to ask, maybe I'm sure everybody can weigh in on this, but Nate keeps bringing up the Peakview relationship. How beneficial would it be? And I'm saying this, I think, maybe just because I've recently spent time in a couple of breweries that happen to have liquor licenses. How helpful would it be to expand those partnerships for you guys in the distilling space to be able to find your juice behind the bar of more breweries? Is that an advantage? I mean, obviously it's an intro that somebody might not otherwise get.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, so we kind of transferred, you know, we had to do a shift this year because on-premise was going to be our focus and really doing partnerships with those. And we've kind of changed it to partners with different sorts of partnerships. So Peakview is kind of the first kind of experiment we did. We did one with 105 last year.
Yeah.
They had a Russian Imperial with H&R barrels that was phenomenal. This year was Peakview, and this is the first time we've actually bottled it. And we came up, Nate helped direct all the artwork for that, Wicked Thunder.
Well, let me push back on that in terms of 105. That was right at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that was.
This year. That's why they pulled back in terms of the whole distribution strategy and that kind of thing.
So it's good to know somebody else's.
Still 2020.
Yeah.
Let's just remember.
Jesus.
Oh, no, that was 7 years ago.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, my God.
So, but I mean, that's just, I mean, alcohol is one thing. When I'm really excited. We met with Mario from PB Love. PB stands for peanut butter.
Okay.
So, Peanut Butter Love, he was here Saturday, and we. Are, you know, some experiments we're trying to figure out, but, you know, we're trying to see if we can work with his company. We're just have other, there's local coffee shops we're working with. and different. I don't want to give away all of our secrets.
No, please.
You're not the first one to say that. Everybody's kind of, even Lenny Deerhammer was on a couple weeks ago. Everybody's, if nothing else, we're all going way more local because we have to, and there's going to be some really interesting creative stuff that comes out of that. That's so, exactly. Yeah, I mean.
Colorado is such a center for entrepreneurialism,
yeah,
and creativity, and we're lucky to kind of be in the epicenter.
Yeah.
Here in Denver, and be able to reach out to people throughout the state who are just doing awesome things. Like our honey bourbon is kind of one of those collaborations. We work with B Squared,
okay,
up in Burford.
Oh yeah,
give me that. And let me see that bottle.
Who else uses that? Somebody else uses B Squared.
Spirit Hound has used them. Laws uses them as well. So what happens is they age their honey in our barrels to get bourbon flavored honey.
Okay. No shit.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
We have it here.
Yeah.
Really?
And so they cool. give us back those barrels that are coated with honey.
Oh, my God.
And then we pour about a year and a half old juice into it, age it for another year and a half. And so, you know, there's no flavors. There's nothing added. It's just pure organic Colorado honey in our barrels with our juice and aged for a number of years. And
it's good for your allergies, everybody. Oh, I mean, cool. Yeah.
It is good for your allergies.
Oh, fight the eat pollen. Local honey.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was just witch doctor shit.
Can I
taste
some of that? Yes. Jay, you are missing out.
I know.
You're being so responsible.
Eight hours bottled of whatever it is. Not me. No. Nobody's trusting me flying a plane.
As we close up shop, I want to kind of ask Nate first and then kind of bring it back to everybody. But knowing what Ron had said about decreased on-premise sales and the pressure that, you know, of kind of getting to liquor stores, how important is that brand awareness, I guess? Like, are you losing sleep at night? I mean, this has to be tough for somebody in your position because you're not in sales, you're in marketing. It's a different kind of animal. So, like, what are you thinking through?
I mean, brand recognition is everything,
yeah.
I think. Like, you're not going to, you know, people are going to try a brand they don't know every now and then. But I think letting them kind of, like you said, experiment and try new things is where it's all going to start. So it's definitely difficult when...
Yeah.
That's not on the line, and you have to essentially get people to just, I don't know, try it based on trust and a feeling and, you know.
So, but I mean, you're close to Broncos training area. Are we seeing influencer marketing coming out soon? Or even like a Von Miller supported Branch and Barrel, you know?
Von Miller, not yet, but definitely a lot of local stuff coming out soon. Like you said, I don't know if we want to reveal quite yet. Local coffee companies that we talking with, hot sauce companies, a lot of stuff in the works for sure.
I dig it.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking now? As we go into, again, winter, and shit is impossible to sell over the counter and stuff like that, what kind of conversations is the team having? What are you guys thinking as we kind of get into spring, hopefully? I mean,
how do we meet our customer
where
they are and where they want to be with us? So, you know, we're constantly looking for events that are slowly starting to come back, actually. We're trying to partner with all of our on-premise accounts to host dinners with them. I mean, the goal is how do we get in front of the people that are buying our bourbon? How do we get them stoked? How do we keep coming up with new fun products in the meantime? You know, because everything that we do back here takes 2 years before we can sell it, at least. You know, we try to make it three, if not more.
Yeah.
So just getting creative, it gives us time to kind of sit back, be creative. You know, we just turned on our new still last week, which is so much fun. We put a ton of time, energy, and love into that.
Awesome.
And then just, you know, keeping everyone happy. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy, and I definitely am losing my hair.
There's got to be a branded Branch and Bottle hat for that, though. There you go.
Yeah.
It's a sunbonnet / face mask.
Well, tell us, I mean, you guys have the ears of honestly, a lot of people.
60 or 65 people.
Where do we find this? Like, how can we go find this stuff? What are the follows? All of that. You got.
There's
as much time as you need.
There's a little chill in the air. I feel like this is absolutely appropriate for this fall weather that we're dealing with. That especially that honey aged. Yeah,
it's good.
Everyone asks me how I make drinks with this, and honestly, it's hard.
Why would you make a drink?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard to just not drink straight from the bottle. We have one. Everyone makes fun of me for this. I think it's hilarious. It's our signature drink, my signature drink. It's called an American Dream, and it's one shot of Branch and Barrel, one ice cube, and it's the taste of freedom.
Very complicated. Ooh, I like it. Done. Yeah, so tell us, Ron, Plug. Where can we buy it?
Let's go first to Ron. Where can we, like, what do we need to go to find where we can buy it?
You know, shout out to our wonderful distributor, Empire.
Okay.
They're doing a great job with just getting us broad-based distribution in your local liquor store.
Perfect.
And you know what? Anyone who's looking for us, and you can't find us in your local liquor store, just ask.
Yeah.
Any reputable liquor store will go out of their way to make sure that they're servicing the customer, especially during these times. And if they're not, find another place to shop, to be honest.
No kidding. That's
true.
Branch and Barrel is certainly, you know, one of the top spirits here in Colorado amongst a myriad of other wonderful spirits. Most definitely, and just ask your local liquor store, and they'll make it happen for you.
That, and go to our website. We have a store locator, so babdistilling.com. We have a locator. You just enter your zip code, and it'll show you the closest store to you with us on the shelves.
And if you're unsure, just buy a Morgan Adams Foundation Chili Booze and Brews passport. Absolutely. And
that's
come on
awesome.
Down for
yes.
a 2-for-1, right?
Yeah,
absolutely, 1,000%.
Socials. Where do we find everybody?
Everything's BAB Distilling. Shoot us a message if you're ever looking for us, can't find us. I'll personally be responding to all of those. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and website, it's all BAB Distilling.
And then back, go ahead.
And I might say that anyone who's in earshot of this broadcast, if you reach out to us at BAB Distilling or Branch and Barrel, and you mention the broadcast, come on down for a free complimentary taste.
Wow. Oh, you might want to redact that.
Jeez, yes.
We AI's have
a lot
scared.
Of degenerate alcoholics.
Exactly. Hours are Tuesdays, 12:15 to 12:30.
For our brewing friends, this is going to go back to you, young man. Are there barrels available? Because people will ask us.
100%. No, we love local partnerships and having fun. You know, and we age a few different types of things in different barrels. We have all sorts of different fun things to experiment with.
There goes the camera again.
And on that,
I brought the van.
Yes,
so
exactly.
We can always throw some barrels.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Jay, thank you so much. Everybody out there, please
Cheers.
Be safe. My God, this is my last interview before I get my vasectomy. I thought I would announce that. So, if you've made it this long, now you know.
You scheduled it without me, huh? Jeez.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Unfiltered. Go find some Branch and Barrel, because this is some amazing juice. These three guys are awesome, and appreciate you being on the show, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
Right, take care, gents. Take care. When they come to